Okay. So we're looking at the last sermon on the series of Jesus as a life of mission. And today our reflection, as has been read for us, is from Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 45. So let's look at this text together. And we can appreciate what's going on for the disciples. They are starting to piece things together, all the things that they have observed over the months and years of being with Jesus, and they're piecing it together. And it's starting to make sense for them that, hey, this person that we are following, sure, we followed him knowing that he's big deal, he's important, he's a teacher, but they started to realize that Jesus is a king, he's a Messiah, and he's Lord, as they often called him, not just rabbi, teacher, but he's Lord. And so they're starting to piece this together, and this is how I imagine it anyway. For James and John, right, they start to realize that this man, after all, is the king that we have been waiting for a long time. So let's grab the chance before anybody else initiates it, anybody else drop the bomb. Let's go to him and ask him to give us the right and the left hand of Jesus, to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus, this Christ. And we need to appreciate what they're really asking here. They are asking quite an audacious thing. They're asking him to give them a prominent place in the earthly messianic kingdom, the kingdom that they've been waiting forever, right? They're asking Jesus for a place of importance, pretty much second place to him. And it makes, I often wonder what makes them so confident, you know, to ask this request. Like, it's an audacious request to ask. And why did they feel confident enough to ask Jesus to give them a place like this? I don't know. I don't understand what's going on, but that's what they ask anyway. And I love how Jesus responded. He was like, "You don't know what you're asking. You have no clue what's going on. You don't know what you're asking." And that's true. They didn't know what they're asking, but they thought that they were asking for a place of glory, a seat of importance in the kingdom. And of course, the other disciples were not too innocent, I guess. When they heard about this, when they heard that John, James and John made this request, they were indignant. They were annoyed because obviously, right, how dare they ask on top of all the 12 disciples, other 10 disciples, how dare they have that much confidence to request Jesus to give them that seat? Obviously, they would be annoyed, but it's also too revealing about who they really are too. They also thought they had a shot at it, and they were indignant. So this very interesting dynamic going on, and Jesus had to make this correction. But Jesus had to make this correction to James and John and to the other disciples. And it's very interesting that Jesus did not deny the glory. Jesus did not deny that he is the king and his kingdom is coming. But Jesus's correction was more to do with the wrong idea of greatness, the wrong notion of greatness that this disciple seems to have. And Jesus started speaking to James and John, asking them, can you drink the cup? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I am going to go through? And these are languages that we might need a bit of context. In the Psalms, the cup is often referred to, yes, a cup of celebration, a cup of happiness, but it's also often referred to cup of suffering, the drinking the cup of suffering, the cup of calamity. And of course, to be baptized, not so much about baptism, but to be engulfed in calamity, to be overwhelmed with great sadness and great calamity and great sorrow. Of course, he talks about this in verse 33, right? He said, "I will go to Jerusalem, and there I'll be mocked, I'll be stripped, I'll be beaten," and so on and so forth. "And I will be handed over to be killed." So Jesus asked them, "Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to suffer like I suffered? I am going to suffer." And I think it's worth talking a little bit about this suffering. Why is Jesus going to suffer? Why did Jesus suffer? And why did Jesus ask us to suffer? And I think we need to make it clear that this is not suffering just for suffering's sake. That there's no inherent virtue in suffering that like a few other religions seem to have. that suffering in itself is a virtue. But I don't think that's the point. I don't think suffering is just for suffering's sake. I think suffering here is in the context of serving others. And in terms of what Jesus understood, for him, his goal was to serve, and serve even to the point of suffering. And I think that's an important thing that we need to remember as well, that we are called, Jesus understood his life as a life of service, even to the point of suffering. And of course, he uses the word ransom, right, in the verse that has been read to us. He came to be to not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So specifically, how did he serve? He served by giving his life as a ransom. He served by going to the cross. And of course, the word ransom has to do with sacrificial animals. In of course, they're going to Jerusalem. They're going to the temple. The shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And that's what he understood his life to be, that he was the Lamb of God. So Jesus understood his life as a service in terms of him giving his life as a ransom, the Lamb of God. So to put it short, to put it in a brief way, his sacrifice was that he gave up his own life for others. And I think that's something we need to remember, that that's what Jesus uniquely did. That's something that only Jesus can do, by the way, that he was the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, who gave up his life for the forgiveness of sins. So this is uniquely what Jesus did to serve us to the point of suffering. And so I think this is where the correlation comes to us, or to his disciples rather, and also to us. So in the context of this, Jesus gathered his disciples. So when he realized that the other disciples were also annoyed, James and John were disappointed, he gathered all his disciples around him and he told them this. He told them that, you know what, the world does it this way. The world does it to lord over the people, to have authority, and essentially to be served. But my way is to serve. My way is to sacrifice my own comfort and give my life for others. In other words, I think what he's saying is this, that your perspective, your attitude right now is you are following the ways of others. You're following the ways of the world or authorities or whatever we want to put it. You're following the ways of the others. And Jesus is telling them, what I'm inviting you is to follow my way. What I'm inviting you is to follow me, to be my disciple and to follow me, not to follow the ways of the world. And so this is where the correlation and practical implications for the disciples and for us comes in. And this is where we can also follow. And that is his attitude. And his attitude was that I'm here to serve and not to be served. His life was characterized by a servant mentality, as we call it, a servant attitude. And by performing many kinds of service, performing many kinds of ministry, he served people, right? And of course, even his patience and long-suffering towards his disciples, we see repeatedly that disciples misunderstood Jesus. They did not understand what he was going on about. They did not understand his goals. And the fact that Jesus was patient and long-suffering even to his disciples, it does give that does give me a lot of hope and a lot of comfort to me. It's almost like watching a movie with somebody who's so slow to understand the plot, a bit like me, I guess. But you see Jesus always explaining, always patient and long-suffering. And that's one of the ways in which he served the disciples too. And he invites us to be like that as well, to serve and to be patient and to be long-suffering. One quick thing that he mentions, and that is he talks about when the disciples ask to be placed in a high place, to be given a seat of prominence, he said, that's not for me to decide. That's not for you to decide. And we could say a lot of things about that, but what I take away from that is that our placement, our greatness and the future glory is in a way not our business, not our concern. It is up to God the Father to choose how we are glorified. And it is up to God to place us in the place, in the positions that we will be getting. But that's not our concern. Our concern, our primacy is to serve wherever we have been placed. And so that's why I mentioned in the beginning that Christ did not deny his greatness and the glory, because that's not his concern in a way. His concern is, how can I serve from that place of whatever place that he has been placed as a man, or even as a king in the future, or right now today, from the place or position of either power or privilege or honor or whatever it may be. Our concern is not so much about where we end up or the positions that we get, but our concern is, how are we going to serve from that place? It is up to God to place us where we are, where we will be in the future, or where we are today even. And but our priority, our concern is to ask, how can I serve in that place, in that position? And by the way, we need to remember this. We need to remember that God has promised us that in Christ, he will receive us. In Christ, he will bless us. In Christ, he will glorify us. And he will make us co-heirs with Christ. So that's already promised. And that's God's concern. So the issue is not that we are to hate position and privilege and the goodies, the blessings. No. And we are to embrace only suffering. I think that's not the point. The point is that we need to prioritize and place serving as the primary concern of our life. What is up to us then? The concern that we have and our choice is to ask, how can we serve in this position that we are? And so to adopt this posture of humility and serving, no matter where we are in life and no matter where we go in life in the future. Our responsibility is to serve, and we are called to follow Jesus even as he had led us and shown us in his life by serving others. So let me just conclude by a quick reflection about thinking about the future, thinking about moving forward, what's ahead of us. I'm talking about in our own personal lives and even in our church or even in our institutions, moving forward, what's ahead of us. If we think about our future and if you think about where we're going, we are pretty much like the disciples. When we think about the narratives that we just read, we have hindsight. We know what happened to Jesus. We know what happened to the disciples. And so we can say, that's what happened. We understand what happened. But when it comes to our life, our own life, we don't have hindsight of our own life. We don't know how it's going to pan out. We are heading forward in a way, and we don't know what's in the future. So I quite like this image, this vision that's given in this text. And in this text, we are the picture is of Jesus leading the disciples as they move forward into Jerusalem. Jesus is walking ahead of them, and he's leading them into Jerusalem. And I like that image because that's a comforting image for me as I think about my own future, that Jesus is leading the way forward. And he showed from his life that as he walks into Jerusalem, walks into the future, he walks ahead with attitude of service and attitude of humility. And so I would just like to leave two thoughts, I guess, as we wrap up the whole life of Jesus as a life of mission series as well. The first thought is this. I think it's important that we follow Jesus. And it's important that we understand that we live our life following Jesus, pursuing Jesus. And in order to follow Jesus, we ought to know what he is like, who he is like. Just like the disciples who lived with him and who came to a slow realization of who he is like. In the same way, we ought to follow Jesus, seeking who he's like. And we do that, of course, we encounter that in the Bible, in the scriptures, in the gospels. And so I think it's, I would like just like to leave this, this first point that Christ invites us to follow him, to pursue him, and to encounter him in the Bible, in the scripture. Because as we get to know him, we can follow him and not just emotionally connect with him, not just intellectually be stimulated in getting to know him, not just morally be inspired, but all of that to follow him. I think that's why the dynamic is called relationship with Jesus, because a relationship is more than just intellectual or emotional or moral by itself. It's all of that together. And that's what we are called to do. And we do that, we encounter that in the Bible. So the first point I'd like to leave with us is that we want to continue to follow Jesus. The second point being to serve. And that's a tricky question, actually. Easier said than done, because serving is easy to talk about, harder to do. And also in the time of COVID-19 pandemic, when we are isolated and restricted from meeting one another, what does it mean to serve today? We don't have church, we don't have services, we don't have the usual stuff going on. And so the question remains for us, how and where do we serve when we don't have service or church going on? Maybe in the context of our families, in the context of our work. So the question of how, what does it mean for us to serve today? That's the second thought that I would like to leave with us as Jesus shows us. How and where can we continue to serve as we follow him? So we our instinct, our desire is to follow Jesus, the servant king, and as he lived his life in a life of mission, right? And he has gone ahead of us, showing us the way of a servant lifestyle, inviting us to follow his servant lifestyle. And I think the best thing is that he doesn't just go ahead of us, he also goes along with us through the Holy Spirit who lives with us today, helping us to follow him and to be like him in the context where he has placed us. And so I would just like to leave this simple thought, I guess, that God has promised us our future, and in Christ he has shown us the way. And even as we march or walk into the future, our calling, our responsibility is to serve and to follow Christ, who embodied that servant lifestyle. So that is the thought or the reflection that I would like to leave with us today. I thank you for your attention, and I give the time back to Sarah and Adrian.